This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover a lot of different issues around Douglas County and check in with lawmakers as well. Congressman Cliff Bentz joining us from Washington, D.C. Congressman, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Oh, Kyle, it's great to be with you again.
So we talked right after the inauguration, and I'm curious now that the new administration is starting to settle in, what's your take on all the fast-moving action that's taken place in Washington, D.C. in the last few weeks?
Well, I think it's safe to say that we welcome the action. It's a huge difference from what we've seen over the past couple of years with the Biden administration. So we're happy that we're seeing things that needed to happen actually happen. So I think a lot of folks are worried because they just aren't accustomed to seeing this dramatic change. And I think other people are ecstatic because they're seeing dramatic change. And so the challenge, of course, is going to be to see how that change affects people, and we're still trying to sort that out. But much of what the president is doing, people want him to do, and they're happy for it. And his stepping up and trying to freeze the border in place to stop all of the millions of people coming in, he's doing that. And his steps to try to reduce the cost of energy, he's doing that. His steps to try to make government more efficient, he's doing that. So it's amazing to watch, I'll tell you. It's pretty amazing.
Well, let's get your take on some things. Of course, in recent days, a lot about tariffs already being imposed or being threatened for imposition. Economists and other watchers really vary on this. What's your take on the whole area of tariffs?
Well, each tariff is a different story, and so you have to look at what the country against which the tariff has been asserted has been doing. You have to check to see if that country has its own tariffs that are damaging us or its own commercial practices that are damaging us. So each one of these executive orders requires a careful review. The technique, the negotiating technique that President Trump is using, I think people are familiar with. He will impose the tariff and then negotiate from that that position of strength. You know, the impact of the tariff, there's no doubt that the tariffs will push up the price of certain things, and there will be people calling out that in the past there have been inflationary tendencies following the imposition of tariffs. I would say that certainly is a short-run consequence, but in the longer run, the goal generally is to make the balance of trade better, and it's to make it more likely that businesses will stay in the United States and will reduce our reliance upon some of these supply chains that stretch around the world, so we're actually building things here. And it's not a short-run deal, and in the long run, things can cost more, but you have a choice. You can let everything be made in China, and then when China gets tired of us, they cut us off, or we can try to build things here so we're not subjected to that kind of risk. So it's a high wire act in many ways, but I understand what the president is trying to do, and we'll see how it works. Complex space and a lot to be done in it. We'll see.
Now, what about concerns you might have about the power that Elon Musk appears to have, really hearing a diversity of opinions on that?
Right. Well, I can't think of anybody more qualified to try to figure out how to fix some if that's the right word for it, how to address some 4,000 government agencies, and people don't have any clue how many agencies we have. I had my staff begin to look into it. It's something over 4,000. Let me make sure that's right. I have a staff member here. It's 400. I'm sorry. 400 government agencies. I was off just by a zero. Forgive me. The challenge is, if you have that many agencies, then how in the world do you address them? And you got to have somebody that has a huge and powerful background in computing, and Elon Musk does. The challenge is making sure that he is subject to the same type of protections that any other person operating within a government agency is subjected to. And you just have to be super careful that people have trust in what he's trying to get done. So what we're doing right now is checking to see what protections are in place to make sure that Mr. Musk is operating within the scope of the law. Thus far, it appears that he is, but a lot of people have expressed concern, so we're looking into it.
Traditionally, when you look at the area of audits, I've read a number of audits over the years from various auditors who take a look at city governments, county governments, things like that. There's a whole process for doing that. They take a long time. They produce lengthy paperwork. Can you really accurately evaluate an entire federal agency and make sweeping recommendations in just a few days?
I suppose the answer is going to be it depends, but it depends on the nature of the agency, what the agency is doing, who the agency is working for, and it's going to be complicated. I think you're probably referring to the U.S. aid agency. I think is right. I think it has a budget of around $70 billion. And that seemed abrupt. But on the other hand, there may have been reasons for the steps that are being taken, incorporating it or meshing it into the State Department that make sense. And so we'll have to see how that actually plays out. But I think a lot of people are justifiably concerned about how that $70 billion was being spent. And so moving the agency over to state may make a lot of sense. But you are correct. Complicated space involves a lot of people. It involves billions and billions, if not trillions, of dollars. It's going to require careful work, and we'll have to wait and see to see exactly how Musk suggests that we address these issues.
Now let's localize this a bit. How might the new administration's move impact the Northwest, Southern, and Eastern Oregon in particular?
Yeah, so what we've been doing, and I was just writing my newsletter to ask people to weigh in and tell us how these executive orders are affecting them. And then it will be and we're trying to look at them ourselves, but there's a lot, 48, 50 of these executive orders. And let me check and make sure my number's right there also. My staff is nodding yes. And so we're checking to see how they affect folks. There's going to be other things that we're going to be doing that are going to affect business as usual across the state, and that is because we're looking at passing legislation that would in some ways reduce spending, and doing that's very, very difficult, and we're trying to figure out right now how that might affect our district.
And you have been looking in the early days of the new administration, and you mentioned all the changes and the rate of things speeding up a bit. Talk about areas that you in particular have been focused on as the shift has taken place.
So I've moved from the Judiciary Committee and Natural Resources over to still on Natural Resources, but now on Energy and Commerce. And one of the subcommittees I'm on is the Healthcare Subcommittee of Energy and Commerce. And that subcommittee, along with others, is being charged with addressing our spending in the healthcare space. So I have been doing a great deal of work in trying to determine what sort of impact reduced spending would have on our medical funding of federal programs in Oregon. And that's, it's extremely complicated. I've reached out to a number of different people in Oregon to see what they suggest we do. And then I'll be reaching out to them also when we identify the type of changes that need to be made. As you know, Kyle, we've talked about this before, we are spending about $2 trillion a year, more than $2 trillion a year, more than we're taking in. And that's been going on for way too long. We have total debt of around $36, $37 trillion. And the interest alone on that debt is around $1 trillion a year. And so how we reduce spending is a real question. And so we're looking at this carefully because a lot of this money is being spent taking care of people who need help. And we need to be identifying how to approach this in a way that does the best at making these programs work better.
All right, more with Congressman Cliff Bentz in a moment, live from Washington, D.C. on Inside Douglas County. The interview will be a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246, the News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1 on tomorrow's program, live from Salem, State Senator David Brock Smith. We've got Congressman Cliff Bentz, who represents the 2nd District of Oregon, much of eastern Douglas County and other areas around the state, all of eastern Oregon and down in the Jackson-Josephine County area as well, on from Washington, D.C. Congressman, one of the things you've talked a lot about is power generation and your concern about the move to decommission more dams. Where does that stand now, or where might it stand with the new administration?
Well, I would hope that the new administration would be totally opposed, as I am, to the removal of any dams, particularly the 4 lower Snake River dams. It's too late for the Klamath dams. They're gone. But the hope is that the Trump administration will be totally supportive of our billions of dollars worth of infrastructure that generates clean, reliable power for us in the Northwest. So my conversations thus far have been pretty limited in that space. The good news is I'm now on the Energy and Commerce Committee, and it has jurisdiction over such things as energy generation. And I'm happy to have been able to stay on the Water Subcommittee in Natural Resources, so there's a shared jurisdiction over those dams, and so I will be in advocating for their continued presence as power generating devices in the Northwest, and I think the administration will be with us totally on that.
When you move over to a different committee, what's the process of sort of getting settled in that work of that committee, especially when you've got a new administration and a lot of shifts in direction?
Well, then what it amounts to is an enormous amount of reading and an enormous amount of meetings with the committee to get up to speed. It happened that there's 30 Republican members of the Energy and Commerce Committee. 10 had gone on to other places. Some had retired. Some moved on to higher office, and so the good news is there were 10 openings, and I got one of them. The better news is I have the most seniority, so I was right at the top of the list of those 10. Thus, I'm not at the bottom of the list when it comes to different things the committee does. But you've got to spend the time to get up to speed on the jurisdiction of each of these committees, and you've got to start getting involved in the type of legislation that they've been working on for years. Privacy, for example, privacy online is a huge issue. It'll be coming up again. Protecting children online is another huge issue. It'll be coming again. Different data issues. The NIL, name, image, and likeness issues will be taken up by one of my committees. And each of these issues requires a lot of reading and a lot of discussions with staff.
What about in the timber area for Southern Oregon residents? Will this administration bring a change in federal land management and timber policies? And just how long might it take before an impact could be felt?
Well, it's our hope that the new administration helps us get back into the woods and actually start removing, dare I say it, timber from the woods, but also some of the buildup of fuel that subjected so many of our communities to so much danger when it comes to wildfire. So I anticipate that the new administration will be absolutely on board in doing that, and I look forward to working with them. Bruce Westerman, the chair of the National Resource Committee, just got his bill passed. I was happy to support it, the Fix Our Forest Act, and it's now over in the Senate, and we know the new administration supports that bill, and we're looking forward to hopefully getting that passed through the Senate and on the president's desk. I mean, I think there's a world of opportunity to try to address some of the issues that have made life so difficult in the Northwest for so many years. And I'm looking forward to working with the new administration and getting back into the woods.
What are some of the potential impacts of Senator Westerman's bill?
His bill contains a number of means of restricting some of the lawsuits that have been filed to keep people from actually entering into contracts, or more to the point, pursuing them with the Forest Service. His bill contains a broad array of technical fixes to different laws that have kept us out of the woods. Not huge sweeping reversals of anything, but carefully designed means of using our woods for better watersheds and using our woods for better economic benefit. It's a very, very thoughtful bill. Chair Westerman is a forester and an engineer, and he spent years putting this piece of legislation together. I'm so happy it's been passed, and it'd be a huge help getting back our forests, at least a huge step, getting them managed appropriately again.
What about legislation that maybe you're working on yourself?
Right. Well, of course, I mentioned before that I was able to get a bill passed to the House, to the Senate, across President Biden's desk, protecting the farmers and ranchers down in the Klamath against the cost of retrofitting dams that were left in the Klamath River. That bill should be paid by the federal government, certainly not the farmers and ranchers who had nothing to do with the demands for repairs. And so that kind of help in the Klamath I'm still working on, particularly trying to make it clear that even in years where we have all kinds of water, farmers are still not going to be, at least if you listen to some of the people in the Bureau of Reclamation, getting all the water they need. So I'll be working on that. I'll be working, of course, on some of the bills we already talked about that are in energy and commerce. And we continue to work on a bunch of bills that are directed toward clearing up some of the confusion and challenges that are over here in the rangeland part of the state. I could go on for an hour. We don't have that amount of time. Suffice it to say that there's a lot of enthusiasm right now for getting stuff passed now that we have all three houses, two houses and the White House. It's a new day, and we're very happy for it.
Now, you mentioned one of the committees that you'd shifted on earlier. Are there others that were a change for you in this session?
No, the main shift I have made is over to energy and commerce, away from judiciary. And so although judiciary was super interested, and I very much enjoyed working with Jim Jordan on any number of issues, it was clear that the scope of jurisdiction of energy and commerce better fit our district. It's huge jurisdiction on all kinds of issues. For example, we're trying to make sure that diesel trucks are not banned in Oregon, or for that matter on the West Coast, is going to be an issue that's going to come up in this committee. And the last thing we want to do is ban diesel trucks in Oregon. And so I've been working with legislators in Oregon on this, but more to the point, bringing these issues up in the Energy and Commerce Committee. And we'll see if we can't get rid of the waiver that California used to start that crazy approach to whatever they were trying to resolve. So those are some of the issues we'll be working on.
While you're working on the federal level, how much communication do you have with the members of the Oregon State Legislature?
So a lot now that we are in a position to actually do something here. And when I say a lot, I've talked to Senator Brock Smith a number of times. I've talked to Representative Bosar Davis a number of times because she's working on the extension of Oregon's ban on diesel trucks, ridiculous thing. So she's trying to get that extended for 2 years. And so I've talked to Senator Mike McClain, who has my old job as a state senator, frequently, and others. It's interesting, though, the link between the federal process and the state is limited, but I just sent a text to Christine Drazen to asking her to weigh in when it comes to some of these issues.
And are you able to talk to individual county commissioners, county officials very much, especially when your district encompasses so much of the state?
Well, absolutely. I talked to Tim Freeman just a couple of weeks ago, and he just sent me a text this morning. I've talked to any number of our county commissioners. We had some of them back here for the inauguration, and I talk to county commissioners frequently, and that's because they come back here, and then I try to see them back when I go back to Oregon. So, no, they're county commissioners are hugely important to keeping me up to speed on what's going on in Oregon and in my district.
What would you say, if you had to pick one, your top priority is for your work in this session of Congress?
Well, I think it's to try to help President Trump accomplish his agenda. Most of the things that he's doing, I think, are helpful to rural areas and helping move his agenda forward, whether it's the border, whether it's energy, whether it's trying to those kinds of things are important, I think, to everybody in my district.
All right, Congressman Cliff Bentz, thanks for being on Inside Douglas County today.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it.
1259 and News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.